The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
The Spirit of God gives us faith. You don't have the faith that will save you, my friends. We're saved by grace through faith, yes. But that not of yourselves. It's the faith that saves you is the gift of God. Now you have to believe on Christ and believe in Christ in order that you may receive the faith of Christ. The Spirit of God gives you faith. The Spirit of God gives you power to conquer and master your own self, to resist the evil, and to propel yourself forward to do the good that you find in the Bible. It opens your mind to understand the Bible. It is the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which is the love and the only love that will fulfill God's law.
So many big statements there from Herbert Armstrong, the late Herbert Armstrong. He died in 1986. That was from his radio program back in the 1960s, talking about the faith of Christ, not faith in Christ. I mean, that's a part of the process. Galatians 2 brings that out. But what we're aiming for, and this is a great mystery. Paul said so in Colossians 1. We're aiming for the faith of Christ. Christ in you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source of information about Jesus Christ and his teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. Prove it for yourself. You have the book. Read along. Study with me. See what the scriptures say. I want to start with, I'll just read it quickly, but you can look at Philippians 3:8 later. This is Paul talking about his conversion to the truth. And just think for a moment about how very different this is from the way conversion or whatever, being a Christian is represented in the world of traditional Christianity. Paul says, yes, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul lost everything when he started following Christ. He gave up everything. Now, when the preachers talk about becoming a Christian today, they don't describe it like this. In fact, a lot of them make it sound like it's really quite simple. Just accept Christ into your heart and everything's taken care of forever. Paul lost everything. And yet he says here, and do count them as dung, that I might win Christ. To win Christ, you have to be willing to lose everything. And you see this is brought out in the Gospels over and again. Think Luke 14, you know, where it says to count the cost. You've got to be willing to love God more than everything or anyone else, including your own flesh and blood family. Ephesians chapter 2, let's just begin our study over there. Coming back to this subject of faith, what kind of faith does it take to be saved? Is it just a simple, shallow belief in Christ? Or is there more to it than that? James 2, by the way, talks about dead faith. There is such a thing as dead faith. Did you know this? Is your faith alive? Is your faith living? We have a booklet here. Wonderful little study. What is faith? What is it? Most people don't know. There's a Bible definition in Hebrews 11, and this book will take you through that and other verses, and we'll try to cover some of them today. Notice what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So we're saved through faith. It's by God's grace. We can't earn it. That's true. But notice what it says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So the grace comes from God, and most people understand this, but they don't understand that the faith also comes from God. It is of God. It is the faith of Christ. Now, a lot of modern translations of the Bible, they change of to in, because that's what they want it to be. the modern translators. Just believe in Christ. That's all you need to do. But that's very different from how it's translated in the King James and other more traditional translations. The faith of Christ. It's just a two-little word, but what a massive difference there is in the meaning. It says in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so a lot of preachers, they'll read these two verses. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. You don't have to do anything. But why don't they keep reading? Why won't they keep reading into the next verse? Why do they generally stop short of verse 10? Let's read it. It says, for we are His, that would be God's, workmanship. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. If only the preachers would read on. Just keep reading and let God enlarge your mind, your heart, so that you can understand the depths, the riches of God's truth, His purpose, His plan. What an awesome opportunity we have to be God's workmanship. The Bible talks about God being the master potter. That's in Isaiah 64, I believe, and then Romans 9. It's in Old Testament and New. He's shaping us. He's molding us. He's creating us. He's the maker, it says in Isaiah 22. He's the creator, the great creator God. And the greatest thing He can create is His own character in you. And to do that, He had to make us free moral agents because we have to choose it. We're not robots. We're not machines. We have mind power. We have to think and reason. We have to, as I said on another program recently, we have to examine ourselves. We have to evaluate what it is that we're doing or not doing. And we have to strive to get better. We have to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. It's a process, becoming perfect like God, Matthew 5:48. It's a lifelong process. And God, like it says in Psalm 103, God knows our frame. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how much evil fills our hearts. But He wants to see a fighting spirit. He wants to see a willingness, a drive to overcome. He wants to see if we're willing to go to work, being a Christian, to go to work at putting sin out of our lives, not by human might or human power alone, but by God's Spirit, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Notice 1 John chapter 4, and while you turn over there, I'll just play one more clip from Mr. Armstrong's World Tomorrow program, clip 2.
Then the Spirit of God is also faith. That's one of the gifts of God. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith, the faith of Jesus. It's the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God. Now, the commandments of God tell you what sin is. It is sin to transgress them. Therefore, repentance is toward God. And Paul went out teaching to the Gentiles repentance toward God because they had violated the law of God, and you repent of that, and you don't want to do it anymore. And faith toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus. You have your faith toward Christ in order that you may receive the faith of Christ. First, your faith in Christ. That's the condition. And then God, on that condition, will give you the faith of Christ. But provided also that you have repented and that you want to keep His commandments, you want to surrender to God, the law of God, the rule of God. God is the supreme authority. You yield your life and your will to His. Now you try to find His will, which is expressed in His law, and do it.
What a gift. The greatest gift God could give to us. His Spirit, His power, His mind. The faith of Christ. The mind of Christ. We have to let it in. Philippians 2:5. Here in 1 John 4, verse 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. You know, examine the spirits. Test the spirits. Whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many? There are many false prophets? That's what your Bible says. So we better be on guard. We better prove what they're saying alongside what it says in the Bible. What do you do if you hear a preacher and he preaches something that's not taught in the Bible? There's a lot of false prophets that have gone out into the world. Verse 2 says, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God." It says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come, or the meaning there is coming, it's ongoing, he is coming in the flesh, is of God. Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh of true Christians, Christ in you, the hope and glory. It's a great mystery, Paul said in Colossians. In the last hour, my father's book, it says, is Jesus Christ really coming in the flesh through you in everything you do? If so, he revolutionizes your life. We covered this last time. If Christ is in you, well, that revolutionizes your life. It's like the Apostle Paul said. I mean, I had to give up everything, and yet I count everything as dung because I won Christ. Paul, in his letters, I mean, he talked about Christ in you all the time. Christ in you, Christ in you. Is Jesus Christ living in you? If so, it revolutionizes your life. You're making great changes. You're coming out of Egypt or coming out of sin, and you're living a new and different way, a more excellent way, as it says at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 3, it says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming in or into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Confesses means to show that you follow Christ by words and deeds. Faith with works. That's living faith. James 2, read it. Study it. If it's not faith with works, it's just shallow, dead faith. It's human. It's not of God. It's got to be of God. It's faith, living faith is a gift from God. We see that in Ephesians 2. We already read it. Notice Acts 20. Acts 20. In the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course, this comes out of Lesson 22, and I would encourage you to enroll in that course, 36 lessons. I mean, it gives you an awesome understanding of the Bible. It helps you to study the Bible, to commit portions of the Bible to memory, to write out scriptures. It's a wonderful tool. It says in that course, it's not a matter of saying the right thing. It's a matter of looking to Christ and following his direction and what he leads us to do. We must always keep God in the picture. We've got to look to God. We've got to keep him in the picture. We've got to do what he tells us to do. It says in Acts 20, verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, this is Paul, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. I mean, he suffered persecution. And like I mentioned earlier, that verse, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, everyone who's worshiping God, who's following Christ, is going to suffer persecution. That's just the way the world responds to the truth. You see it with the prophets of old. You saw it with the ministry of Christ. You see it with the apostles in the first century, how so many of them became martyrs. You see it in the history of God's church through the Middle Ages. Oh, I mean, maybe we've had a little bit of a respite here in the last days, at least here in America, with all of the wonderful freedoms that we have, the freedom of religion. But Satan hates the truth. Satan attacks God's church. And Satan's going to go after God's people yet again with a massive persecution. during the Great Tribulation. So we better know whereof we stand. We better be grounded in the Word of God. We better turn to God, to look to Him for that gift of the Spirit, for the gift of living faith. Verse 20 here in Acts 20, it says, "And how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you," Paul says, "but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying," verse 21, "testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance toward God. Romans 2:4 says, "The goodness of God leads you to repentance." Repentance reconciles us to God, as Romans 5 and verse 10 says. Hopefully we can get over there later. But then faith is toward Christ. Christ in you. I mean, I guess technically faith is toward God as well, God and the Son. But here Paul, he points us to Jesus Christ, because it's Christ in you. It's Christ coming in your flesh. It's Christ's faith. Jesus Christ's faith, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That word toward, it means motion into which, or it implies penetration. I mean, you are living in Christ, and Christ is living in you. This revolutionizes your life, your thinking, your everything. God is at the center. In the Overcomer booklet, my father says here, "Sin is something that needs to horrify us. We must be aware of what Christ did for us. Grow in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." It says, have faith in that sacrifice. Then repent toward God, who planned the whole thing. I mean, why did that sacrifice have to happen? Because of our sins. And look at what sin did to Christ. It's horrific. Are we horrified at the thought of sinning? Do we fight against sin like a good soldier should? It says in Romans 5, well, you can turn there. I'll just give you another quote from our Overcomer booklet. It says, "Baptism is only the starting point. Many people know why we must have faith toward Christ. We must believe on and accept His sacrifice in order to be reconciled to God and to receive the Holy Spirit." We're reconciled to God through repentance, through Jesus Christ, and then we receive the faith of Christ. Notice Romans 5, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also," verse 2, "we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." You see, through Christ, we have access to the Father. It opens up the family of God, this awesome sacrifice, this life of Jesus Christ, His teachings. God is a family. It says here in verse 8, further down, "But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ paid the penalty in our stead. And because of this, God can legally remove the penalty of eternal death. That's what we've earned. Romans 6, 23. He can legally remove that penalty if we repent and believe. And then we're baptized and we receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of power, the Spirit, as you heard from Mr. Armstrong there, the Spirit of faith. Living faith, believing. Verse 9, it says, "Much more then, being now justified by Christ's blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." We shall be saved. That's future tense. And then verse 10 says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Saved by the life of Jesus Christ, reconciled to God by the death. Now think about this, because in traditional Christianity, really, they take you right up to the death of Christ. And as far as that goes, I mean, that's where everything ends. with God's purpose and plan. You see it in the seven annual festivals. It starts with Passover. It starts with that memorial service. It starts with that reconciliation. But then you go on from there with the other festivals, the Days of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and then the Last Great Day. We have a booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days. Which ones are you going to obey? Which ones will you observe? The ones in the Bible or the ones that are not in the Bible? You have to decide. You're a free moral agent. You choose. And if you choose the right way, well, it may end up being like the Apostle Paul. I gave up everything, but I count it all as dung that I might win Christ. What a victory. Christ in you, the faith of Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Everything is of God. I mean, he's the creator. He's the maker. It all originates with him. That's why every aspect of our lives should be oriented around him. As I said last week, I mean, it revolutionizes our lives. Verse 19, it says in the Revised Standard Version, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I mean, in these two verses, you've got like a synopsis of God's purpose and plan. It all starts or originates with God. And God, by the time it's all said and done, he's going to gather in the whole world. And everyone's going to have an opportunity, according to a definite time order, to be reconciled to the Father and to build the faith of Christ into their lives. Let's finish over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. I think we have time to cover this quickly. Galatians 3:20. It says, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." And this passage talks about Jesus Christ being the mediator between us and God. God calls and he does it through Christ. I don't have time to get into a lot of detail with this, but just back up to chapter 2. This is Galatians 2 and verse 16, where it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." It's Christ in you. It's what Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 19, when the young rich man, walked away sorrowful, because he wasn't willing to forsake everything and to follow Christ. And the disciples said, "Well, how is this even possible then?" And Christ said, with men it's impossible, but with God it's possible. It's actually possible to obey, to follow Christ's steps. Notice what it says. "Man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." And then it continues, "Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ." You see, God initiates the call. We have to respond to it. John 6:44. And I mean, we have to look at our ways and see all the areas where we need to repent and change. And then we do need a human belief in Christ. Knowledge that Christ is the Son of God. He came in the flesh and he died for our sins so that penalty could be legally removed. But then what happens after that, after baptism, after the receipt of the Holy Spirit? Well, then you go on and you live not by human faith alone, but by the faith of Christ in you. Christ coming in the flesh, as we read in 1 John chapter 4. It says in verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live," Paul says, "yet not I, but Christ lives in me." So he's talking about the old man, the old Paul, the carnal Paul, the rebellious Paul, the Paul that was persecuting Christians. That Paul was dead at conversion, at baptism. And he says here, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This is the verse where they, you know, the modern translations, they change the meaning. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Same way it's worded in Ephesians 2, as we read. So clear. Notice Philippians 4. I think we have enough time to go through a few more verses before we close. Philippians 4:11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," Paul says, "in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul was all things to all people. What a phenomenal teacher, instructor, theologian, minister, preacher he was. It says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And so can you. You can do all things through, as long as it's through Christ. There's awesome power that we can tap into. If our attitudes, our hearts are right, we humbly turn to God in repentance, we receive the Spirit of God after believing in Christ and receiving the Spirit of God through baptism and the laying on of hands, and then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mentioned that verse in Matthew 19, verse 26. With God, all things are possible. Make sure that you call our operators today and request this free booklet, "What is Faith? What is Living Faith?" That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us and hope that you'll be with us again next time.
During his ministry, Jesus Christ asked, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth?" What is true faith, and how can we be sure that we have it? God makes hundreds of promises throughout the Bible. Do you believe every one of them without a doubt? Can you work up faith from within, or must it come from somewhere else? How do you exercise and strengthen your faith? Request our free booklet, "What is Faith?" to discover how to build this powerful godly quality in your life. Millions lack faith to receive answers to their prayers. Often, this is due to not understanding what faith is. Real faith must be built on the strong foundation of God's Word. Examine the deep faith of Jesus Christ and develop the kind of faith required for spiritual salvation. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our free booklet, "What is Faith?" Order now.